Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom. And on this episode of Flash in the Pan, she never loved me. She never loved me. She never loved me. Why should anyone?
We grew up in a world of online animation. And we're digging you out for your consideration. Bringing you the tunes that made us who we am. Flash in the Pan. Flash in the Pan.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Flash in the Pan.
Welcome back.
Coming to you across the plague-infested airways. In all seriousness, hi, I hope that you're well if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this during a period of self-isolation, then go you. It's important to keep your brain busy to avoid cabin fever.
And we hope to entertain you over the next half an hour, 40 minutes, maybe even upwards, probably upwards of that.
Do not think about the event.
Yeah, it is forbidden to talk about the event.
Yes, which is why we're going to be talking about some more Flash animations.
Yeah.
Because, you know, internet history, animation, cartoon, podcast.
It's more fun to think about than current events.
Heck yeah. So, yeah, welcome. We hope you enjoy yourselves. If you'd like to watch along with us, which we strongly recommend,
mm-hmm.
You can do so at our website, which is flashinthepancast.com, where you can find links to all the cartoons we talk about today, as well as all of our previous episodes.
And,
you
hey,
can
yeah.
do a binge.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're currently going for a period of self-isolation,
or if you just feel like listening to our voices for several hours,
why not?
There's a whole Flash in the Panoply of previous episodes.
Ain't nothing better to do. May as well listen to two pasty white nerds talk about internet history.
Yes. And speaking of white nerds...
Hell the segue.
We're going to be starting off by looking at a series which has been much requested.
Yes.
So, the series is called Weeble and Bob. Weeble and Bob comprises of over 180 separate episodes.
There's a lot of Weeble and Bob.
Many of which, as I'll describe later, are no longer available online.
Aww.
However, we have dug up a handful, and we're going to be watching some of the early stuff. So we're going to be watching the classics Pi, Donkey, Angry, Yar, and, as a treat, Destroy, the lost episode.
All right.
Here we go.
No Bob? Yeah. Bob. Bob. Yes. Rapparani. Hee. What is?
Oh.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
Yes.
It's been a really long time since I watched or thought about Weeble and Bob.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And how's it hold up?
It's exactly how I remember it, which is... I don't know.
Well, this is the very... These are the very, very early...
These are the very, very early ones,
we're talking,
yeah.
like, 2002.
Yeah.
Early, which is very early.
Yes.
And, you know, this is way back when. This is when the episodes were coming out, like... I mean, the first few came out within, like, days of each other.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing the start of a really... successful and really Moorish little intellectual property.
Yes.
Which, especially if you just watch the earlier ones of these, are a little samey.
I think that was what I was... I think that's what I was going for, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little bit... Not much changes episode to episode in those first few early ones that we watched.
No. Well, we did watch 1, 2, 5, 9, and then the and then the lost episode, which was way later, as you can tell just from the animation quality.
Yeah. Yes.
So do you want? Should we start with the original plots, as much as there are plots?
Yeah. So we've got.
Let's start with the characters. Tell us about Weeble and Bob.
So we've got Weeble and Bob.
Yep.
They are. And I've always struggled with this. They're eggs.
They're egg shaped. Yes.
They're egg shaped. Are they actually? And I've always wondered this. Are they actually based on the toy?
The toy Weebles.
The Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
That is exactly what they are based on. Yes.
Okay.
You're spoiling a bit of the flash.
Damn it!
It's okay.
Sorry about that.
No, I was just going to mention that. Yes, they're based on the old children's toy,
which. Is that? That's a UK thing. I don't think they... Did they have that outside the UK?
I don't know. If you're a listener from outside the UK and you're aware of Weebles being a thing where you're from, then please email
yes,
in.
Yes, please let us know.
FlashThePancast.com.
Yeah. Yes. They're egg-shaped.
And they wobble.
They wobble back
and roll.
And forwards and they roll. Weeble is the bigger one.
Yep.
And Bob is the small one.
Yes.
And...
Weeble likes pie.
He loves pie. Bob also likes pie.
Not to the same extremity.
I don't know. Because Bob is the one that is frequently saying, pie.
You know what? That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I think they have a shared mutual love of
pie. Okay, I take that back. Bob, if you're listening, I didn't mean to... To undercut your true pie love. We also see the donkey.
We got the donkey
who becomes a major love interest later on
god,
in the series.
I forgot about that.
Yep.
Oh my god. Yeah.
There's Bob's child.
Angry Paul.
Angry Paul.
I nearly called him Angry Joe. Nearly, it's Angry Paul.
Yeah,
he drinks a thing of Sunny D and explodes.
Sunny Delight, yes. After being very fussy about eating his pie,
he doesn't want pie. He wants Sunny Delight, so he gets given the Sunny Delight and explodes.
See, I remember. So again, this is from like 2002, which is about when Sunny Delight was launching properly in the UK.
That's right.
And there was almost a moral panic about it because it was so sugary.
Yeah,
that everyone thought it would make their children just go berserk.
I mean, as far as I know, it didn't, but there was that case of the person who drank so much Sunny Delight that they did turn orange.
Oh my goodness, what?
Yeah, did you not...
I must be aware of this.
You must
but...
be, hang on, wait.
Oh wait, okay.
Hang on.
She's bringing up a photo.
Let me see if I can find...
Okay, I'm going to vamp for a bit.
Yeah, go on.
So, I think we had Sunny Delight in my house, like, twice ever before my mom decided, no, this is too much for you. I did have it at friends' houses, though, so that was nice. Oh, you found something.
Doctor, this is from
1999? Wow, okay.
December 99.
So 2002, when this was made, this would have been old hat.
Dr. Duncan Cameron from Glanclwyd Hospital near Rhyl-Clwyd had the child brought to him after her hands and face turned bright orange and yellow. Analysis revealed her condition was caused by beta-carotene.
Oh, beta-carotene,
beta-carotine, an additive that boosts the drink's orange colour and vitamin A content.
Yeah, that's what's in carrots. And they added it to the drink. Yes, I remember that. They added that to the drink to make it even more orange. And it obviously stays in the system.
And then, like, so it related to this. Like, people also ask, does Sunny Delight make you orange?
And the answer is yes, in large enough quantities.
It is. It's a... beta-carotene is a widely used natural food colouring... When consumed responsibly, Sunny D will not turn you orange any more than a regular 100% orange juice or carrot would. So they must have been drinking an astonishing
amount of
Sunny Delight. But it did happen. There was a case, and that was kind of a thing that went around for a while. I remember that from early aughts.
Yeah.
About Sunny Delight could turn you orange, but you had to drink a lot of it.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, that...
Not in this one, though.
Not in this
one. In this cartoon, Angry Paul remains white, as do all the characters. We can talk about more about this later, but just the aesthetic of this is very, very strong, I think.
Yes. Yeah, very... it's very striking, actually.
It really is.
The white characters on
the magenta background.
It's like hot pink almost. It's kind of like the shirt I'm wearing.
Yeah, just like... Yeah, yeah.
You got the text at the top. The text at the top kind of telling its own story, where it's like, the adventures of Weeble and sometimes his friend Bob.
Yeah.
Well, as far as I know, his friend Bob kind of always shows up.
Almost always,
Almost always. Yeah.
The other plot-ish episode. Oh, yeah. So for the first one, Weeble likes pie, shouts loud enough that it sends Bob flying.
And then Weeble calls Bob a wanker, really.
Yeah,
Weeble calls
Bob a wanker, which is a running theme.
Yes.
Second one, Weeble's there with a donkey. He pretends it's a pie. Bob tastes the donkey's ass.
And he says it tastes like donkey's ass.
Yeah.
And then the donkey...
And then it turns out the donkey is an actual donkey, or at least real enough to just shit in Bob's face.
Weeble responds in a really strange way. He says, ooh, how rare.
How rare?
Yeah.
It's just like, okay.
Is it meant to be how rude, but they wrote it out as rare?
No, it's definitely how rare.
How rare?
Yeah.
I don't know. This is very strange. What I heard was how rude, but then what I read was how rare, and I was like, oh.
Maybe in the back of your head you were thinking of Jar Jar Binks saying, how rude.
I mean, which
for some reason just gets stuck in my head now and then. That one Jar Jar Binks line that everyone loves.
How rude.
How rude. Anyway, then Angry Paul, and then for the last plotty episode we watched was Yar, where we meet Chris, the ninja pirate.
Oh,
yes, this is from July 2002.
Chris, the ninja pirate.
Yeah.
The two warring factions that tore each other to shreds in the early aughts of the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. Who would win the fight? Ninjas or pirates? Vote now on your phones.
Vote now on your phones. The answer is who fucking...
the answer in this case is to split the difference with Chris, the ninja pirate.
Yeah.
Who is a mushroom of some kind.
Is, yeah.
With an eye patch.
Yeah.
Indicating his piracity. Is that a word? Piraticality? Piratitude.
If you've got an eye patch,
piracy.
You're more likely to be
it's
a
piracy.
Pirate. Yes, that's... There you go. It's piracy.
There you go.
If you've got an eye patch, you're definitely more likely to be a pirate than someone that doesn't have one.
Okay.
Although they could be disguising their hidden pirate identity by not doing the obvious and wearing an eye patch.
Or a famous war correspondent.
Or that.
Yes.
Yeah.
A dead body falls from the ceiling, having been recently stabbed. Weeble and Bob declare, oh yes, it's a murder.
But it takes them ages to get to that point.
Yeah, they are so completely chill about...
Everything.
About everything, yeah. Apart from the absence of pie.
In
I guess
all
that's
the videos,
joke. Yeah.
All the videos we watch, there's absolutely no pie at all.
No actual
pie
physical
pie does
not
pie actually
seen.
Show up at all at any point.
No, pie is mentioned. Pie is yearned for, but not seen.
Not seen.
Yeah. Anyway, Chris the Ninja Pirate shows up, and they say, hey, you killed someone. He's like, there be no laws upon the sea.
Which implies Weeble entirety of Weeble and Bob takes place on a boat.
Well, that's what Bob says. Bob says that they're on land.
But it's hard to tell
because the entire background is pink. And you can only tell they're on a flat surface because of the shadows.
Yes.
Which I think is a nice little, a nice little joke.
Yeah.
Chris is, he just talks in ninja talk.
Says Yar.
So he talked in pirate talk, not ninja talk.
Well, it could also be ninja talk because he's a pirate.
Yeah.
But he does speak more like a pirate than, there isn't a way ninjas speak.
I mean, ninjas traditionally are very quiet.
Yes.
Or loud and American.
Yes, depending on... depending on what you were watching in the mid-2000s.
Data bio.
Oh, you mean Naruto? I was thinking of Ask a Ninja.
Oh, I was also thinking of Ask a Ninja, actually.
Oh, was there ever a... Was there anybody ever that joined those two hands together?
There's no way that didn't happen. Ask a Naruto, yeah. Maybe 4Kids did it or something, I don't know.
I would be surprised if they didn't.
Yeah.
And if they didn't do it, someone else has got to have done it.
Yeah. So let's talk about these first four as a set, because this would have been, generally speaking, this would have been your introduction to Weeble Bluff back in the day. Like, I do remember logging on dial-up internet to the Weeble website.
Yeah.
And watching these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember, as we said, the actual style is really striking.
Yeah.
It's really strong.
Yes.
It's very reminiscent of, like, early iPod adverts.
Even though
it comes from a pre-iPod world.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. I was about to say maybe that was an influence, but...
Yeah. It definitely has the feeling of something that was made on a Mac, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And another thing that got me... In the original Weeble Stuff website, if you click on the page, it just loads and plays automatically with no preloader, with no button to press. Uh-huh. And at the end, it just finishes.
Yeah.
And it's... For some reason, it felt really slick.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. It's more immediate.
Yeah, and also just the really good choice of music.
Yeah, the background music is really, it's appropriate.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird, but also...
Yeah, kind of unintrusive, it's good indie background. Indie-tronica
kind of sound, yeah. You know, early brain feeder feels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the thing is that, as you'll see on the website, if you look at the website, if I have to make it, there are two versions of each of these cartoons. The original versions, which we've mostly watched, are not officially available anywhere apart from on a couple of them on Newgrounds.
Mm.
The first episode's on Albino Black Sheep.
Yeah.
But otherwise, to watch a lot of... if you want to watch Weeble and Bob nowadays, you have to go to YouTube, where a few of them have been re-uploaded by Weeble himself. Re-uploaded with a new audio track. Basically remade.
Yeah.
Because originally the music tracks used were copyrighted. And that doesn't fly with YouTube.
Yes.
So the original soundtrack to episode one was a track by Mr. Scruff.
Yeah.
And I think Mr. Oizo did the track that's used for the donkey.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. And so later on, when rejigging these for YouTube, Weeble, who by that time was an accomplished musician.
Yes, he is.
Went back and re-soundtracked them and re-recorded the vocals.
He redid all the voiceover.
Yeah, which
you can really tell because, like, in the original,
he sounds younger in the original,
and the lines all like the beginning and the ends of them are all cut off
a little bit
for some reason, which is very very odd.
Yeah, well, like, just their manner of speaking is quite clipped.
A little bit.
It's a combination of, like, just extremely casual chat with your mates kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, like, the combination of that and the very long pauses between actual lines gives it almost a weird dreamlike quality, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So before we get into more of that, I think we should talk about the last one we watched. which is officially the most controversial one.
Right, okay, well, you have to explain why.
So it's called Destroy.
Yeah.
And the version on YouTube, which is the new version, it's mentioned in the comments that the video was missing for many years due to legal problems, but then the law on a parody and fair use changed in the UK, and so it was able to be re-uploaded, albeit with the music remixed. The original upload just uses, basically, it's a parody of the music video for Destroy Everything You Touch by Ladytron, an excellent band that we actually got to see last month, who were great.
We were probably one of the last shows on the tour, now that they have probably had to go home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great song, great band, great music video.
Absolutely.
Where the band appear as giant faces in
the snow
in mountains.
Yeah.
And the parody is instead of Destroy Everything You Touch, it's a song about destroy every pie you touch. And Bob interrupts and spoils Weeble's fun.
He hasn't got any pie.
Yeah, and saying Weeble doesn't have any pie, even though he's apparently doing the song to brag to the lovely ladies at Ladytron that he's got lots of it.
Yes.
It's again this monomania about pie.
Yeah.
If you know, it feels very early 2000s Monkey Cheese kind of thing. Just like, oh yes, this fixation, pie.
Pie was inherently funny.
It was at the time.
For a very long time on the early internet.
Yeah, and you know, he's got savory and sweet pie.
Yeah.
You know, beef stew pie.
So there's variety.
Yeah, he's offering, falsely, he's offering a real smorgasbord. And then the song stops, and it's revealed that Chris the Ninja Pirate has been pissing on Bob's head because Bob is giant and the size of a mountain.
Yeah, and it's which Chris's fans. Yeah, to be shurikens, a talking hill. I gotta stop drinking, is what he says.
Yes,
yeah, there you go.
And he doesn't stop peeing, though.
No,
he just keeps pissing, doing it.
To
which he says, just the way of the sea,
which was his response to the murder in
the first episode
that he appears in.
Yeah, and then Weeble reveals that Captain Birdseye, beloved UK frozen food mascot, pissed on his head in return for some fish fingers.
Payment of fish fingers,
yes.
Yeah.
Which in America you might know as fish sticks.
Yes.
Just a little cultural exchange there.
They're not called fish fingers over there,
they're
are
not.
They? Wow.
Chicken fingers are called chicken fingers.
Yeah.
But fish fingers are not.
But we don't really have chicken fingers here.
We call them like chicken goujons.
Goujons.
Yeah.
Because we have to be different.
We have to be fancy.
Yeah.
It's French. It's cuisine.
Except fish fingers is not is not in the least bit fancy at all.
No, not really.
No.
Oh, I've got some fish fingers in the freezer, actually. I might have them tomorrow. Mmm. Anyway, so yeah, as mentioned, the original upload of this was actually taken down only a couple of months after coming out
because of copyright law.
Yeah, and I can give you some more information because I think it might be about time to transition into some Flash. So we've talked about Weeble at length before.
Yes,
we don't need to go into him too much.
Yes.
But some interesting facts about Weeble and Bob as a franchise, if you like, as a series.
Okay, yeah.
So we'll start with the little copyright thing. So the original Destroy came out back in 2000 and... Scroll.
Control F to find
okay.
it. Oh, there it
came
is.
Out in...
2008.
Yeah, August of 2008. And in just over a month, due to... copyright kerfuffle with I believe Lady, I don't think it was like the individual members of the band, but it was just like their label.
Yeah,
it was like, hey, no, take this down, despite it being,
it's a cover.
The original was not. The original used the original upload just used the album track, but with Weeble and Bob singing over the top of it. If you listen very closely to the original, which you can find on the Internet Archive, you can just hear the original vocals underneath them.
Ah, okay, right.
And so that was a big kerfuffle, you know?
Okay.
I remember some angry forum posts around the time. Yeah. I mean, like, it was only... I mean, I do remember watching it on the site, because when it came out, everyone was like, oh, yeah, this is really fun.
Yeah.
And then a month later, it's like, nope, gone. Nope.
Take it down.
Yeah. It lasted 5 weeks. And but then, you know, in 2014, re-uploaded, remixed, and it's still fun. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's, I don't know. That kind of stuff always irritates me, just from an ethical point of view.
Right, okay.
Because not only is it a completely harmless parody.
Yeah.
That, I mean, okay, it does involve piss, head pissing. but the head pissing happens after the song.
It does. Plus, like, I don't exactly think that Weeble's going to make a ton of money off of...
No, not particularly.
No.
But, yeah, and even then, at the end of it, he does link to both the original music video and to Ladytron as a band. So if anything, it's like a fan outreach sort of thing.
Full credit was given.
Completely fair use. So I'm glad the laws did change.
Yeah.
To do with that. So there's that. Weeble and Bob, more generally, like, was and still is...
Is it still going?
The last Weeble and Bob thing that came out, I think, was a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay.
But this is after a long hiatus. They stopped uploading regularly back in, like, 2013.
Okay.
But for a time, especially in the early to mid-2000s, they were coming out, like, every month.
At least, like, three, four times a month. Wow.
Sometimes, yeah. And it was extremely popular. Weeble and Bob were everywhere, especially in the UK sphere of the internet.
Yes, again, it was a thing that Weeble made. He just has this ability to tap into what general UK public considers to be really entertaining.
I think so, yeah, because... a lot of the... I mean, we'll talk about comments in a bit.
Yeah.
But a lot of the comments, especially on Newgrounds, were really not into it.
Right.
And it feels like maybe it's just a cultural divide.
Potentially.
I mean, yes. Even though the original episodes we watched are not particularly strong, I think, some of them in hindsight.
No.
Like, they're very... benign.
The especially like the first one, nothing happens in it.
Nothing happens in it.
No.
But yeah, you know, at the same time, you're setting up the relationship.
Yeah, plus like they definitely got better as time went on.
They did.
They
yes.
got a lot
as,
better.
As in many future episodes, I'm sure we will explore.
Yes.
You know, we haven't even done the saga of Bob's Week in France, which was an early
Oh my god. Remember that? Yes.
Yeah, which was an early exciting story arc. Mm. I do think that its Englishness helps with some of the appeal.
Yeah.
It helps with the accents, which are just odd. The voice acting is...
There's already so much, like...
It's very silly.
There's not really so much of an accent as it is, like... Is, like, slurred...
A speech impediment.
Slurred speech by the way of Eric Cartman.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah.
It's got that kind of...
especially with Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I think also just having it be so regular and like, it comes out, you know, like, when this started, you were getting, you know, at least a couple of episodes a month. And this is on top of Weeble's other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, his other, you know, like Magical Trevor
yeah.
and Kenya and On the Moon.
Yeah.
And
On the Moon kind of went into being a serialized thing as,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
Had a bunch
yeah.
of...
And lots of other stuff, which, yeah. rest assured, has been in our inbox from you folks.
Oh, yeah.
the
Toast King as well. I know that is On the Moon.
The Toast King lives on the
Moon. God, yeah.
Along with Moon Keith Moon.
That's it.
Yeah. That's for another episode.
So I'm just remembering all the fucking Weeble things. He's made so much stuff.
He
just
has.
Stuck in
my
brain.
Yeah, like, he is and continues to be one of the most prolific animators in modern history,
yeah.
I think. Just in terms of the amount of things he's put out, the variety of things he's put out, and the constant, consistent tapping into that mimetic power, I think.
Which, thankfully, is a power that he mostly used for good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah. In terms of Weeble and Bob's availability nowadays, it is kind of hard to come by. Because of what I assume are various copyright issues, the full Weeble and Bob library is not available in any one place online.
Huh.
You can access almost all of them through the Internet Archive Wayback Machine.
Okay.
Actually, there's even a link to the old Wayback Machine Weeble and Bob page, like the archive version of that page, on the Wikipedia page for a list of Weeble and Bob episodes.
Huh, okay.
So that's an easy place to go. And that's also where we went to watch the original ones with the original music tracks.
Yeah.
But other than that, only the first 10 have been uploaded, sort of remastered by Weeble himself, and other scattered episodes exist on the Weeble Stuff YouTube and on Newgrounds. It's interesting how only a handful were released on Newgrounds, and I think what the intention was to A, not to spam Newgrounds, but B, to be like, hey, cool kids on this cool Flash website, these are some Flash animations that I make on my website that you should go and check out.
Yeah.
And I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. As well as doing regular Weeble and Bob Flash animations, Weeble and Bob sold out. They didn't just sell out once, they sold out multiple times. Oh, Weeble and Bob featured in adverts for Cadbury's Cream Eggs.
That's right.
And also, most notably, most memorably for me at least, for Anchor Spreadable Butter, where Weeble and Bob appeared as cows.
Oh my god, yeah. Wow, I had completely forgotten about that.
It's Angus Reed.
Yeah. I remember. Excellent, great, excellent spot on impression. I remember that. My god, I'd forgotten. I completely forgotten they were on TV several times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw that advert. You know,
is this Weeble and Bob?
Yeah,
there they are.
I'm like, what's going on?
Why am I on telly?
I'm trying to watch Kerrang. The new Linkin Park video's on in a second. Why am I getting? Wait, that's Weeble and Bob.
You really summed up the early aughts experience.
Sipping my Sunny Delight.
Weeble and Bob are interrupting the new Linkin Park song.
But like, that's what it was like.
That is what it was like, yeah.
You know, especially back then when things were more segregated, the intrusion of online culture into offline life was jarring.
I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah, like, I remember mentioning way back when, like, watching a Linkin Park behind the scenes making of the video thing.
Yeah.
And one of them was wearing a Strong Bad
top. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And being like, Strong Bad? What? No.
He knows about... What?
Yeah.
Because, like, the internet, back when we were children or teens... Tweens.
That's the word.
It was kind of like a... It was kind of a bit like an exclusive club because...
A bit, yeah.
Not everybody at that time... And this is going to sound strange, but not everybody had a computer.
No.
And even if you had a computer...
Not everybody
had the internet.
And even if you did have the internet, even fewer people used it for more than, like, work.
Yeah, like, it was...
Or porn, let's be honest.
God, that is completely throwing me off now, you're just saying that. But like, what people use the internet to just chat to people and watch random shit and other things that I remember. I just remember talking to people who I had never met, still do that. Watching random shit, still do that.
Reading random shit,
like, yeah, forums were a huge thing, you probably had at least 3 or 4 different forums tabbed open next to Newgrounds.
Oh,
and
this is before tabs.
Yeah, that's right. You'd have them minimized as a window, and your computer would hate that. If you had too many forums open, you had to close one because it used too much CPU.
Oh, Grandma, you and your stories.
That's how it, back in my day. That's how it was.
Yeah.
And it's wild that we're still treating the internet like a commodity like it was back in the day rather than utility, which it is now, absolutely.
We could talk for hours about that, I think.
But let's not.
Let's keep talking about Weeble and Bob. I find myself, even though I didn't really enjoy the early episodes, in hindsight. Like, I remember at the time, as a 12-year-old, brilliant.
Thought they were great, yeah. Best now, scene ever seen.
Now, late 20s, not so much.
Not so much.
No.
Funny how that happens when you get older.
But I can't not respect them.
Yeah.
Not just because, hey, this, you know, this is an independent creator, like, you know, just him and, like, a couple of his friends putting out regular and fun, if not funny, content.
Not always, but yeah, he definitely got better at that as they went.
But not just because it's an interesting amateur project, but also because it's so consistent and really, really shows just the work ethic that they were able to put into this stuff.
Plus, like, I mean, Weeble and Bob, the beginning of it was like the jumping off point for Weeble.
Oh yeah.
Like, it was, you had Weeble and Bob episode one, and then everything else he did, like all this other stuff we mentioned, like on the moon,
even stuff that didn't really go
Trevor,
anywhere.
Badger.
Yeah.
And other stuff that was like misattributed to him. There was like, I remember there's one thing which was like the most annoying, like the annoying song or something like that, and I think that was misattributed to him.
There are so many annoying songs.
I don't remember if that was actually him. I don't think it was. But like, you had Weeble and Bob, and then he did everything else afterwards. So like,
and he's still doing it.
It's interesting to like come back to the first thing that this guy did before he went off and just like
became a megastar.
He just infected everybody's brains with his
stupid sense of humor.
With his stupid sense of humor and like his again incredible ability to just come up with these catchy melodies that would just stick in your head and absolutely you will not be able to get rid of them. Even as we've said before, like I don't know how many years later, like 10, 15 years later, still they're still rolling around in there, still just come up. Like, completely unbidden by anything else.
Yeah, but and, like, the seeds of that are planted really early on. Episode 2, Donkey, starts with Weeble singing to Donkey.
That's true.
You know? Like and Weeble and Bob, throughout its life, would continually get very musical.
Yes.
For better or worse. Yeah, you know what? I just realized that Weeble and Bob reminds me of most is, like, a newspaper comic strip.
Oh my god. You know what? Yeah.
Because you got, it's very simple characters, basically no plots. Mm-hmm. I'm talking like a gag strip, not a Doonesbury. Although Doonesbury with Weeble and Bob would be a fucking trip. but you know, it's like simple characters, simple premise.
Yeah.
Like maybe two punchlines, and you get in, you get out really quickly. And that, and being able to access that as like, you know, a weekly fun thing, that would have been brilliant.
Yeah,
you know, but you know, like I remember I had it in like as part of my webcomics rotation at the time.
Yeah,
you know, like, oh yeah, I'll catch up on 8-Bit Theater. I'll read some Penny Arcades.
Let's see what Weeble and Bob.
If there's new Weeble and Bob. Let's see if there's new Strong Bad Email.
BG Cats didn't upload again. Update again. Well,
hey, this is back in the time way back when VG Cats actually did update regularly.
It did for a bit.
For a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
But yeah, Weeble and Bob, like, the early stuff hasn't aged well, but I think it's...
It's interesting
as a place to start.
It's an interesting place to see where it all kicked off.
Yeah, and actually, as far as I'd be interested to hear, because, you know, there are almost 200 of these. And so I'd be interested to hear if any of our listeners, that means you, Flashketeers,
that's you,
have any particular favourite old Weeble and Bob episodes they'd like us to talk about in the future. And you should tell us about that We have an email address, which is flashinthepancast@gmail.com. This is unorthodox. Usually we tell you to email it at the end of the show, but
Yes. Have you got a favorite Weeble? If you were exposed to Weeble
or Bob
or both. Or both. If you've got a favorite one, to let us know, because
Remember the hentai episode?
No.
Oh, okay.
I do. It has been so long since I saw Weeble and Bob that most of it has exited my brain.
Fair enough.
Which is really unfortunate, because a lot of them were super fun as they went on, and maybe should go back and watch the old ones again.
Yeah.
Or the newer old ones again.
Rather
the later ones.
So let's finish off with some comments now.
What do people think of Weeble and Bob, Tom?
Well, I think you'll find that they had lots of thoughts.
Okay.
The thing is that the Weeble and Bob website, the Weeble website, doesn't have a comment section because it's from the past.
Yes.
And so...
And that's how it should have stayed.
And so I have culled comments from elsewhere.
Okay.
So the first thing we've got is from... Got a couple of comments from the very first one, episode one, Pi. So the first one is from YouTube.
Okay.
And this is from... Can you read that okay? I'll zoom in.
Yeah, zoom in a little bit. My eyes aren't what they used to be. Let's have a look. Yeah, that's fine.
There you go.
Slebeog. 10 months ago, Jesus.
Oh, right. I just worked out that the username is Goebbels backwards.
Oh. Anyway, the pause has just adds so much to the comedic timing in this. The original Weeble and Bob were an absolute gem of 2000s. Shame all of the catalogue isn't available anymore, which...
That is a shame. Yeah.
That is a shame.
And then I got two comments off Albino Black Sheep, which, as I mentioned, this was the only Weeble and Bob episode uploaded to Albino Black Sheep, as far as I can tell. So, Doug Fucky, and this was only 5 years ago, Doug Fucky commented on Weeble and Bob episode one to say...
Are they still using that username? I need to know.
Maybe it's like the Fockers in Meet the Parents. It's just an unfortunate surname.
Ah, yes, yeah. Mr. Fucky.
Mrs. Fucky, what will you name your son? Doug. Anyway, Doug Fucky said, "I so think it'd be funny if Doug Funny had gay sex with Roger Clark." And, sounds like Alex thinks that's funny too. You found a kindred spirit.
I don't think this person. I think that person being deadly sick. just the way that's written isn't written by as if somebody thinks that would be a funny. That's written under the guise of someone being like, "Haha, well, I wonder what Yoshi's eggs smell like."
Oh, asking no. For a friend. Oh no! How could you remind me of that post? No,
that's the vibe this comment gives me.
Hey, what if you drew me but wearing a dress, even though I'm a boy? Wouldn't that be
that
funny?
Awaken any latent feelings?
I mean, his name is Doug Fucky. I think any feelings were awakened a long time ago.
He's very aware of them.
A true buckaroo.
It would be funny if that happened, and controversial. Yes.
Yeah.
It'd be especially surprising to see it as Doug fucking ended about 20 years ago.
Anyway, Anonymous One, back in 2010, said, "This is so stupid that there is something unexplainably addictive and attractive about it."
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
I think that pretty much sums up the attraction to early Weeble and Bob stuff, to be honest.
Yeah. We got a couple more from Donkey. We got a YouTube comment.
Rolo Bolo Crolo. 2 years ago.
Only 2 years ago.
I was the original forum slag on the original Weeble and Bob forums, designated by none other than Weeble himself.
Oh,
glad to see you made it big with everything after this.
What an honour to be the official forum slag. To those outside the UK, slag is a word on par with the word slut.
Yeah.
But a little bit meaner.
It is a little bit meaner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most notoriously heard in, like, EastEnders
you
being...
You slag!
Yeah. And from Newgrounds, we've got a couple. Knifing Around, excellent username.
Great.
In 2003, gave this 4.5 out of 5 and said, great movie! Good movie, I love Bob. Also, Tyler needs to read this because Elvis posted it. Ha 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 ha.
What? Who the fuck are Elvis and Tyler?
I have no clue.
Okay. We got Braven, October 8th, 2003. Oh dear. They didn't.
Only 2 out of 5 for Donkey.
2 out of 5. That was poor. But the only reason that the first time it's cool, refreshing and stuff, but now I think you're simply obsessed with pies. Change.
Wow. Braven's bringing some tough love to the equation.
No offense, but I would simply talk about something other than pie. I'm different. That's
I've got one final Weeble and Bob comment. This is for the cartoon Yar, where we meet Chris the Ninja Pirate.
Yeah.
And the comment says this is by Top Hat Joe from YouTube.
Yeah.
It says, ahem. Once a ship is 24 miles from any coastline, it's on the high seas, or international waters. With the exception of certain rights within the contiguous zone, the law of that ship is the law of the country whose flag it's flying. So yes, Chris, there is law on the sea.
What if it's not flying a flag?
Then
it's fucking lawless, isn't it,
Top Hat Joe? Oh, no, you're right. We found a loophole.
What if it's flying the fucking pirate flag? That's not a country flag. If it's the fucking Jolly Roger, then
okay.
It's anyone's fucking game.
Okay, but like, if I'm in the Coast Guard and I see some Burke flying a pirate flag on top of their yacht, I'm probably gonna go and investigate them first. I mean, that's what they call in the trade a rookie mistake. Yeah, that's like showing up to a bank wearing a domino mask and with a bag that says swag on the side.
Fair point. Oh, fuck. Oh, I love the idea of some idiot with a yacht just flying a fucking Jolly Roger in international waters. I bet that's fucking happened.
Oh, no doubt whatsoever.
Oh.
Okay. We calm?
Yeah.
We shouldn't be calm because our next cartoon
is far from it.
It's angry. It's angsty. It is the Angry White Boy Polka.
Never fails to put a smile on my face.
I cannot believe this is the first time we've done a Weird Al Yankovic polka on this episode, on this podcast.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I think this is a fitting one to start with.
It really is, because 2003 was a very angry white boy year for music.
It certainly was.
And it was also an extremely big year for Flash animation. And
yes.
Something that combines the two with such... idiosyncratic glee.
Yes.
It's perfect for this show.
Yeah,
obviously.
Liz Bender's music video for the Weird Al song, The Angry White Boy Polka.
So, for someone unfamiliar with Weird Al Yankovic's polkas.
Yes, so it is a thing that he does on like every album.
Every album except the first one, yeah.
Except for the first one. So, what he does is he takes a bunch of songs that are popular
basically like around the time the album comes out. And he puts them all together in like his big polka medley. So he reworks all the songs to be like this polka style, and it is always
It's always kind of weird, but also great.
It's also great. It's always great.
Especially recontextualizing songs in the incredibly cheery and upbeat polka style.
Yeah, which is I think a large part of where the comedy of his comes from.
Oh yeah, massively.
I actually the last Weird Al album I listened to was Alpocalypse, which I think was
That was the second to last.
Yeah. And that one I think that had like Baby by Justin Bieber on it and a bunch of other stuff I don't remember, but this one is especially special to me because this is kind of all the music that
it's the music of our childhood.
This
isn't
is the
it?
Music that we were listening to, which also Weird Al obviously also exposed to because it was popular. It was that was what was on the radio. It was all the stuff in the polka. As weird as it would seem now for radio to be largely dominated by
rock music.
Alt rock and punk rock.
Yeah.
It was.
Kind of, yeah.
It kind of was. And this is what... So we got...
let's do the rundown. So, in order, we've got Last Resort by Papa Roach. We got Chop Suey by System of Down.
Yeah.
Get Free by The Vines. Who remembers The Vines? Not me.
Vaguely. Very vaguely.
Hate to Say I Told You So by The Hives.
The Hives, yeah.
The White Stripes, Fell in Love with a Girl.
Yeah.
Last Night by The Strokes, Down with the Sickness,
Disturbed,
Rage Against the Machine, Renegades of Funk, Limp Bizkit, My Way, Outside by Staind.
Remember all Staind? Don't even know if they're still going anymore.
Kid Rock, Bowie Dabba. Remember when Kid Rock was cool for like 2 years?
Yeah, and then he had that song that was basically just Sweet Home Alabama.
Mixed with Werewolves of London.
That's it,
and then he went hard right in his politics.
Fun.
Yeah. Anyway, we also got POD, Youth of the Nation, a personal favourite.
Yeah.
And finally, Eminem, the real Slim Shady. Eminem, especially in 2003, the angriest possible white boy.
Is really the outlier on all of these, because, like, Papa Roach, System of a Down, White Stripes, The Strokes, The Surge, Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, they're all definitely rock. Yeah,
and
yeah.
And Eminem, he was just a rap artist, but...
I mean, Kid Rock was rap rock, Limp Bizkit was rap rock, you know.
Rage Against the Machine.
He's on the same spectrum.
Yeah, kind of, but he was more kind of pure strain rap-ish.
Yeah, I know.
But he was very angry and very white. interesting thing to... So I think something we should note is that, like, a couple of the bands that are featured in Angry White Boy Polka, not white. A couple of the singers weren't white, so like Raging on the Machine,
obviously. It does feel a bit odd to categorize all of it in the angry white boy thing, even though they are all definitely cut from similar cloth.
They are, yeah, I think that's the main point, is that they're all kind of the same strain of music.
Yeah.
Which
makes sense.
That was permeating the public conscious in 2003.
Yes.
Simpler times.
Yeah. So, should we talk about the animation itself?
Yeah, sure. It's
very simple.
It's fairly simplistic.
Yeah.
It's more just to kind of illustrate what's happening, what's being said in the song.
Yeah, it's a very literal interpretation.
Yeah.
Of the lyrics. Intercut with sort of like. Quite simple caricatures of the members of each band.
Yeah.
Like dancing or cavorting in some way. Yeah, but like it kind of reminds me of Catchphrase. In that it's very say what you see, or rather draw what you hear.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, why do you leave your keys up on the table, says System of a Down, and it's Serge holding some keys. Yeah. Yeah, later on you've got, you know, I'm on the outside, I'm looking in, and, well, yeah, that's where they are.
Papa Roach, I'm losing my sight, literally a blind guy with a stick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, angels deserve to die, some angels fall from the sky. Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Yes.
It kind of works, though. She never loved me.
It's just a bunch of
well,
pin-ups of sexy celebs of the early 2000s, like Lucy Liu.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's there.
Yeah. One thing that's slightly off-putting is the fact that everyone has the same mouth, which might just be, like, from photos of the animator themselves.
That's what I thought as well.
Yeah, because the quality is extremely fuzzy webcam quality.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose it means that you only need to do one lot of lip-syncing.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, they mix up the style depending on the kind of musical pastiche that's going on. So, like, you know, when there's a barbershop quartet kind of segment, then, yeah, the band members appear as a barbershop quartet and that kind of stuff, which is cute.
Yeah, yeah, it's just fun if you want to see the members of the Hives dressed as the barbershop.
I mean, I, for one, am happy that happened.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, it does mean that unless you, like, know the individual band members, that some of them do look pretty similar. Especially because for some reason, almost none of the characters' eyes open.
Yeah,
I know it's a stylistic choice, but it also makes them look a little bit more interchangeable. Although maybe that's a point that the animator's trying to make.
Maybe.
But yeah, all these guys might as well be the same person kind of thing. I don't know. I do like that when Limp Bizkit appear, they're in their cool little car and that kind of stuff.
He's got Nook E as the fucking license.
Before they appear, it says in the Got Milk font, Got Nookie.
Oh god, yeah.
Yeah. And apart from that, like, a lot of the other assets are just like JPEGs taken from the internet.
Yes.
And again, they're very kind of like, okay, why not? Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. Let me try again. But even then, like, they're all quite simple, very on the nose.
Yeah,
which works, you know.
Yeah,
and in terms of like the actual animation style, it's all extremely flash animated.
Yeah,
like you can see the individual blobs that make up a person. You can see the individual blobs that make up a car.
Yes,
and you can see them kind of like jiggling and shrinking and growing as needed. Which, you know, it's a style.
Yeah.
It's extremely dated, but yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Anything else you want to say about the tune itself?
I like this bit here. The bit
you,
with
you, you
with
like
the,
Disco with Kid
the,
Rock.
The Disco Kid Rock. That I think that's maybe like the most interesting part.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and then it's immediately followed by the members of POD as babies as they sing "Youth of the Nation."
Yes,
because babies.
Youth of the baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
You get it.
Yeah, yeah. You get it. And then right at the end, we get like a big ensemble piece with all the band singing together, which I always like.
Yes.
And which is very easy to do with Flash. You just get all the assets together.
Yep.
And it's, I don't know, I always like in any kind of big montage, or even in a film where, like, you know, the finale is, oh yeah, everyone's coming together. Mm. I can feel everyone's hearts beating as one. Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? Yeah, and Eminem looks extremely ugly in this.
Yes, he does.
And is wearing a t-shirt that's a terribly cropped poster for 8 Mile.
8 Mile, yeah. Appropriate.
Yeah, it is appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. It is exactly as nostalgic as I remember.
Yes.
I remember listening to it at the time.
Yes.
Before I properly discovered Weird Al. And being like, wow, this is really funny.
Yeah.
Listen to all these songs I recognize from the radio.
That might have been my first introduction to Weird Al as well.
Yeah.
Potentially. That would make sense.
I think so, yeah. Of course, given Weird Al's style in this particular track and the way that he makes his voice sound deliberately abrasive in several segments,
yes.
I remember this being one of those Flash cartoons that I would watch on the family computer,
yeah.
And my mum did not enjoy overhearing, because if you're not a Weird Al fan, his voice can get quite grating, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, yeah, and he kind of does it on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is generally this is great. It makes me very very nostalgic.
Yeah.
For the early 2000s and. I will never get tired of hearing the riff from Last Resort played in an accordion. Never. Never.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Is there anything missing from this, do you think? Any songs you missed? Because the big two that I think that I'm very surprised didn't make it on here are anything by Linkin Park, who like owned the early 2000s alt rock thing, and How You Remind Me by Nickelback, which was everywhere.
It really was.
Or maybe it was just everywhere in the UK.
Maybe he was sick of it.
Yes. Yes, he was sick of it. But Youth of the Nation, that was still fresh as a daisy.
I mean...
What about Blackout by Head P.E.?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of choices he could have made. Yeah. I think he made all the correct ones.
Mm.
I think maybe those songs he felt he couldn't fit them in and have it feel right as a cohesive piece.
Yeah, that's fair.
That would be my guess. We would never know without asking him directly, which is probably not going to happen. Weird Al, if you're listening, please write in.
Please write in. Flashbackfancast@gmail.com. So you were particularly excited about this one.
Yes.
Which means that you've done a bit of research.
I have indeed done some research about the Angry White Boy polka, so it's probably time for some Flash. Yes. Angry White Boy polka. So it's created by Liz Vender. So this was October 2003, just a few days after my birthday.
Hey!
So it won a couple awards. So it was Daily Feature for October, and then Weekly User's Choice in November.
Wow, yeah, so this would only have been like 5 months or so after the actual album came out?
Yes, so he worked pretty quick on this.
Yeah.
So the Angry White Boy Polka is the first upload by Liz Vender to Newgrounds. So there was a massive gap between this and when they next uploaded to Newgrounds, which was in 2011. And then they went on another hiatus until 2014, where they made a couple of submissions, and then they came back again the following year for three more submissions in 2015, and then that's the end of posting history. So very, very kind of sporadic, especially that massive gap between 03 and 11 and 11 and 14.
Yeah. Were they uploading stuff elsewhere?
So they... is a YouTube channel for Liz Vender where he appears to have uploaded most of his other animations apart from the Angry White Boy polka.
That makes sense. Copyright on YouTube.
So it seems someone else went ahead and uploaded a mirror on YouTube later on in 2011.
Yep, that makes sense.
Other than that, in 2018, his channel became solely dedicated to pet videos, as you can see, with the last upload there being January. In 2018. So that was the last YouTube upload that he had.
Callie the Calico Cat.
And what a... adorable. What an adorable cat.
Extremely good.
That she is. I'm going to guess it's a she. Look. Based purely on looks.
Yes.
So there's a... There are... And the Newgrounds page advertises a DeviantArt, a Twitter, and a Patreon. Those have all been deactivated.
Even the Patreon.
Which he's advertised. If you look in the news thing, you can see that he advertised it in 2015, and at some point it's been taken down. However, the WordPress blog, which is advertised on the Newgrounds page as well, is still active. As you can see in the most recent post being December last year, where we talk extensively about Death Stranding. If you're curious, he really liked it and wishes more people approach games with the same sincerity as Kojima does. There's also a review of a new Creepshow series that he did, a bunch of character studies, including a character study of Jeff Bridges as the Dude, and an article about Pepsi Man.
Good.
In which he says, quote, "If you're tired of the childish angst that pervades the net, just do what I do and make a search for Pepsi Man. It's not soda that this superhero distributes, it's joy."
Wow.
So that's what I could find for Liz Vender.
All right.
Made a sporadically posted throughout the 2000s. So first in 2003, then 11, he did an article about Red Dead Redemption 2. He just kind of seems to be doing just like
Just articles. Blogging.
He's just blogging now.
Yeah.
So he had a Twitter, that's gone. There was a DeviantArt, that's gone.
So now he's just a blogger.
Now he's just blogging. Just blogging away. Seems fairly happy doing the whole blog thing. Seems to really enjoy Death Stranding.
Well, that's nice.
So he's still around, but only in the form of a blog that I could find, really. So,
well, his legacy may be small, but it is powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
The bridge babies in Death Stranding.
They are incredibly powerful
and small
and very small.
Yes. Anyway, let's finish off with some quotes.
Yes. Let's have a look at some old comments.
Let's do some comments. Yeah. So these are all from Newgrounds.
These are from Newgrounds, yes.
So Silent Tony Jar in 2008 gave it only one star and said, WTF? Why the fuck does the singer sounds like Shaggy from Scooby fucking Doo? You need more style and better music. So that's what we were saying earlier about Weird Al's voice not being for everyone.
We got vibes.
We've all got vibes.
We've all got vibes.
Vibe check.
1.5. Only gave it 1.5 stars. That's this in 2004.
Well, those are bad vibes.
The problem with Flash music videos is that there's always going to be a person who doesn't like the song. I don't like the song.
Oh.
Also, the video itself was quite boring. It looked just like most other music videos on Newgrounds. I like the acknowledgement that there's a problem and that they're part of it.
Yeah.
There's always someone who doesn't like the song, and I don't like it.
Yeah. Self-awareness is, that's a virtue.
Yes.
Far control, which I almost read as fart control.
Oh, it's just far control.
Okay. Fart control in 2006 gave this 2.5 stars and said equals L.
I think that's like, I think it's meant to be like the equals line.
It's like a biting your cheek smiley face. Like
unimpressed kind of face.
Yeah. The Last Resort song at the beginning was a favorite of mine, and this just screwed it up. But other than that, everything else was okay, not funny, because it was a little bit demented.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure. And hey!
Look who it is.
Look who it is. It's... Can you guess Flashketeers?
Who is
all
it?
All together now. One, two, three.
Ericho! Yes. He gave it 5 stars in 2010. And he said, I love him too. I'm guessing he meant Weird Al.
Yeah.
I believe you actually got recognition by none other than Weird Al himself on this song. This is a fantastic thing to watch. And it also has some of the most fun audio I've ever heard. I can just see this thing in my head I suppose that's meant to be all the time, with these crazy little guys just dancing around and doing crazy stuff over and over. It was cool how you showed everybody at the end to emphasize how big of a parody it was. They raise dust with their feet and react in the silliest ways they can. This is how every parody should be.
Wow, that is extremely high praise, even from Ericho, who does not pull punches.
Liz Vender, yes, said thank you. I really appreciate your kind words, to be honest. I was completely floored when John Schwartz emailed me too.
John, oh my goodness.
Never expected the reaction this received. It was just for fun because I loved the song and kept picturing the video in my head whenever I listened to it. I am very lucky and grateful.
Well, that's really neat.
So, yeah. This has been officially actually says on the Newgrounds page, this Flash
is was officially endorsed
Weird
by
Al
Weird Al. Yeah.
Yes.
Which is pretty neat,
that
honestly.
Neat.
Maybe someday anything I do will be endorsed by Weird Al.
Maybe.
That's the dream.
That is the dream.
Yeah. So those are our cartoons. I think we just have time for a couple of your emails.
Oh boy.
So last episode we asked you folks to email in to flashinthepancast@gmail.com and tell us about a time that you've waited an awfully long time for something that disappointed you or surprised you. We've got a couple of those. So Great Joe, our frenemy, said, howdy. The one thing I've waited the longest time for is a successor to the open world racing game Burnout Paradise.
Yes.
You're not the only one, Joe,
no.
Believe me. It's just the best. I could write pages upon pages stating why and the myriad of ways modern open world games failed to learn anything from it. But just trust me on this, it's good.
It is good.
EA made a whole fuss about how Need for Speed Most Wanted, the newer one, not the one with our Lord and Savior Clarence Razor 5 grand Callahan, would be another burnout paradise. They even handed out pre-written ad copy to various journalists stating as such, but it was mostly just a way to sell DLC packs that removed grinding that shouldn't have been there in the first place. Oh, EA.
Oh, EA.
Come on. The cars were shit, too. I'm still waiting for a real successor. Ah, oh.
That would be...
I feel
yeah.
you, Great Joe. Yeah, that would be really
Paradise
cool.
Paradise was awesome.
Yeah. Maybe there'll be, like, a fan-made spiritual successor that's Burnout Paradise in all but name.
I mean, they tried to do... I think it was Ubisoft. They tried to do, like, a big open-world car game. Do you remember The Crew?
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it went down particularly well. I think it
because
was,
you have colossal multi-car pile-ups in
yeah,
the crew.
Yeah, and I think also it was kind of a mess when it released, probably.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened. I don't know. I think it got a sequel. I have no idea how that was received at all.
I think the closest we've got to Burnout Paradise in the last few years was Goat Simulator.
Oh my god, you're right. Wow.
Jeez. Yeah, open world mayhem, high speeds.
Ghost, yeah.
Goats.
Goat Simulator had that. And also goats.
Oh, wow.
But it didn't have Welcome to... sorry, no, that's Green Day. It didn't have Paradise City by Guns N' Roses.
You're right. Arp wrote in. Arp said, "So when I was a younger person, I was super excited for JonTron's big Star Wars series that was filmed in a studio and was supposed to have guests and a bunch of other cool shit, released over about a year. Well, it took way longer than that, wasn't nearly as good as he said it would be, and then it turned out JonTron fucking sucks. Oh well, I said to myself, at least there is still Pro Jared. He's about to start his Final Fantasy retrospective on each mainline game. Those should come out pretty quick. And it's not like he's soliciting minors for nudes and has a racy Snapchat and Tumblr behind his wife's back and is cheating on her with another YouTuber who likely divorced her husband to be with him. He got to 4, gave up, and then did do all those shitty things. Because of course he did.
I'm so sorry.
Thanks.
I'm so sorry, Arp.
Thank you, and also sorry, Arp. Yeah.
I really fucking sympathize with you about JonTron, because, like...
He did some fun stuff back in the day.
I used to really, really enjoy his stuff.
Yeah.
It's been fucking ruined.
Yeah, for those who don't know, JonTron is a YouTube personality who, how do I put it?
He steered hard right.
Yeah.
He showed his ass.
Yeah, Kid Rock style.
Like, there was something weird going on, like, because he was with the Game Grumps for a good bit, and then they brought Dan Avidan on, like, the next day, almost.
Mm.
And, I mean, it no one's ever explicitly said, I think it's fairly obvious what happened. And, like, it super fucking sucks because, again, he made some really cool stuff that I enjoyed the hell out of and watched a bunch of times.
Yep.
And that I sometimes find myself quoting and go, oh, wait, that was him. Never mind. Purge that from my memory.
That's the difficult thing about, like, a really long project, like that kind of thing, is that while the scope of the project may be consistent, the person making it may not be. Yeah. Sorry, that's kind of a downer. I'm sorry.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. But we did get another email from Hey Boots, who said, I'm still getting caught up on your very good podcast.
Thank you.
But howdy, here's an update.
Oh.
Which links to the YouTube channel of one Mark Haynes, the creator of Super Mario Bros. Z. Super Mario Bros. Z 4K remaster was released just 1 week ago at time of recording onto YouTube.
Oh my god.
The full, complete series, all 3.5 hours of it. So, thank you extremely much, Hey Boots, for that, because blimey. And also thank you for the recommendations that you've included. We'll be adding those to the list.
Yes, absolutely.
And if you, listeners, Flashketeers, would like to recommend anything for us to watch, Weeble or otherwise, then you can do so at flashinthepancast@gmail.com, as well as any questions, comments, confessions of love, recipes, relationship advice questions.
Oh, we are not qualified for that.
Sewing patterns, poetry critique, anything like that, you can email in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're about up for time.
I think that's about it, yeah.
Yeah. So that remains for us to say where you can find us on that big old interweb.
Oh. Yeah, so you can find me on twitter.com/DEX01, where I am progressively spending less and less time.
Cool.
You can find all the music that I have.
Including the theme tune to the show.
You can't, no.
What?
I haven't put that out anymore.
That's a podcast exclusive.
That you have to tune in every couple of weeks for.
But the theme song is you.
The theme song is I did all.
Is you and me as
I
well.
Did all the instruments and the and the harmonies.
Yeah,
and you did the lead vocal.
I did lead vox, yes, as did. They say in the trade.
You can find all the other music I did. So it's on alexvalentine.bandcamp.com. I'm also on Spotify and Apple Music if you search for Alexander Valentine.
Neato. Nice. You can find me on the Twitters at Gertrude Perkins. That's Gertrude PRKNS. Haven't really been doing much lately because stuff's turbulent, you know?
Yeah.
But hey, maybe there'll be some good content sometime soon.
Soon.
I don't know. I need a new job. That's what I mostly need. So if you're hiring, then please DM me on Twitter.
If you got a job you think Tom can do, then please
at me.
Please at him because he needs it.
You can also find the Twitter that we use for the show at @FlashITPancast or @FlashItPancast.
Yes.
As mentioned at the top of the show, our website is still there, and you can still go to it, where you can find links to all of the previous episodes, as well as the stuff we've been talking about today, at flashinthepancast.com. Just to take a moment to thank Alicia Goranson for her very kind web hosting services. You can check out her stuff at alicia-goranson.com. And until next time, I've been Tom.
And I've been Alex.
And remember, the first time it's cool, refreshing and stuff, but now I think you're simply obsessed with pies. Change.
Have a great flash.
Flash in the past.